if you asked me I was going to be in the Red Bull Junior team in 2 weeks, I would have said no, because I barely knew anything about it, really. And then basically in 2019, I was racing in Mexican F4 and doing a bit of USF 2000 in the road to Indy. And quite late in the year, I think it was around October, November, we received an email from Helmut, and he said he wanted to meet me in Mexico City. So I'm from Houston, so it's only an hour flight to Mexico City. So we flew to Mexico City, met Helmut at a hotel bar, and basically he told me then that he wanted to see me in a car, and he wanted to see me at a test. So
hey everybody, welcome back to the Track Limits podcast presented by Formula Addict. I'm your host Swish with my co-host Henny.
Hello.
And today an exciting guest joins us.
Yes, he does.
An individual, an American racing driver, an individual who's currently driving for High Tech in Formula 2, somebody who's also competed in Formula 3, Formula 4. By the way, I've heard that he's only 18 years old, which is pretty incredible. Welcome, Jack Crawford.
Welcome.
Thanks for having me, guys.
How are you doing?
I'm great. Just arrived here in Abu Dhabi and nice and warm weather. And excited to be out of the cold.
No jet lag.
And back racing. no jet lag yet. I slept a little bit on the plane. So yep. I think that was actually a bad thing because I wasn't very tired last night.
Yeah.
So we'll see.
Yeah. Well, we were popping sleeping pills last night.
Just everything. Just to fall asleep. We were on your flight, which was very hilarious, coming through customs. I'm like, there is Jack.
Yeah. Let's do the podcast right now. There at the airport.
Right in customs. Right? Yeah. I'm sure they like it.
Yeah. Oh, God.
Well, Jack, we break up our podcast into three sections. Q1, all racing related. Yep. Q2, kind of diving into you as a person. And then Q3, the rapid fire round.
Okay.
Where we're just going to pepper you with a bunch of questions.
Sounds good.
Ready to get into Q1?
I'm ready.
All right, here we go. So looking back now at the 2023 season, how have things gone in your eyes?
It's been tricky. I think it's been really competitive as well, the whole field. I think we started a bit slow as a team, and you know, having a rookie teammate as well, Isaac, we're trying to learn off each other, but we're both very new to the series. And although the car's not too different from F3 to F2, there is a lot of specific things like tire warm-up and race pace and pit stops, stuff like that, starts, that you have to adapt to and get used to. So I think it's been pretty good the second half of the year. We definitely figured some stuff out with the car and we made improvements, so I think we did a really good job. Obviously second half of the year I got a pole, feature race podium. Earlier in the year I had some sprint race podium, so it hasn't been a bad season. But at the end of the day, I'm sitting now 13th in the championship at going into Abu Dhabi. Mm-hmm. Hopefully I can get to 11th.
Yeah.
But, it feels like I've done a bit better than that, but it's just so competitive that, everyone's having good weekends.
Yeah. There. And what does your day-to-day look like for you right now? Is this like, I know you're traveling, but there's been, 4 or 5 weeks of being off?
Yeah, what is that? Even more for me. I haven't been in the car since Monza. I haven't been in any car since Monza. I mean, the only driving I've done is from the hotel to here and a bit at home driving in my car. So that's the only kind of driving I've done. Yeah. And I've done a lot of sim. We've also been doing a lot of negotiating for next year with teams and stuff. So it has been busy, although it was a I just miss racing a lot, and now I'm here and I can feel it's starting to come back. Nice. So that's good.
Anything you can tell us about next year?
Ooh,
exclusive?
Scoop.
Not yet.
Damn it.
It may be though, it will already be announced on Monday, so the podcast probably won't even come out. Yeah. So you guys see it on the 27th, I believe.
Of November.
Which is Monday. Is that Monday?
Yeah.
Maybe. That is. Or Sunday.
November
27th? It is Monday. Yeah. Let's go with Monday.
Monday after race weekend will be announced. Okay. So, I'm excited.
Well, this podcast will drop somewhere in January. So, if you say now, we can embargo it until then.
Sure. I guess I can say it. Yeah, I'll be racing for DAMS next year.
Nice.
Which one?
Yeah, Okay, we're gonna be teammates, all American at them. So yeah, that'll be exciting.
Oh, that's epic. Let's go.
Congrats, man.
Yeah, awesome. Thanks.
That's amazing.
And then in terms of, I mean, there's so much to unpack within, you know, your career thus far. Obviously, one of the things you did, I think back in 2020, you joined the Red Bull Junior program.
Yep.
So for those watching, like, walk us through, how does that happen? And then what are the benefits of joining a program like that for your development?
Yeah, it happened really quick. So within 2 weeks, I had gone from, like, if you asked me I was going to be in the Red Bull Junior team in 2 weeks, I would have said no, because I barely knew anything about it, really.
Yeah.
And then basically in 2019, I was racing in Mexican F4 and doing a bit of USF 2000 in the road to Indy. And quite late in the year, I think it was around October, November, we received an email from Helmut, and he said he wanted to meet me in Mexico City. So I'm from Houston, so it's only an hour flight to Mexico City. So we flew to Mexico City, met Helmut at a hotel bar, and basically he told me then that he wanted to see me in a car, and he wanted to see me at a test. So then I actually had a school trip planned to Australia with my friends, and I had to cancel that, which was a shame, because I'd never been to Australia then. But
the boys never forgot.
No, it was I got my redemption this year when I went to Australia. Okay. So, nice. So then, basically, a week later, I was on a plane to England. I was on the Red Bull sim for a day, and then I flew to the Netherlands for a day on the sim with VAR, and then I did a test at the Red Bull Ring. There were two current Red Bull juniors, so at the time Johnny Edgar and Harry Thompson, who I think Harry Thompson was just stepping up from karting, and then Johnny was going into his second season of F4 as a Red Bull junior. So I guess it was kind of like a competition, and you know, I performed well at that test, and basically my dad was there, and apparently after the first morning, Helmut had already offered the contract. And my dad didn't tell me. He told me at the end of the first day that he had offered. And I was like, so where is it? Did we sign it yet? And he was like, no, we're not yet. We're going to look through it. I was like, So luckily there was another day and we got it figured out. And that was the story.
Wow. So. And okay, be honest with us. Who is Marco? I know we've heard so many different stories about who he is as an advisor, but for you, who was he?
He was a very interesting character. Mm. He is very straight to the point.
Yeah.
He's very honest and sometimes very bluntly honest, just telling it literally how it is. So yeah, he's an interesting guy, but he does, when he puts faith in drivers, he does put a lot of faith in that, you know, those certain few drivers.
Yeah. All right.
And then you decided recently, actually, to leave the program.
Yeah.
Do you want to talk a little bit about kind of what went into your mind deciding whether or not to leave, stay?
Yeah, it was a tricky situation for us because at the moment, you know, there isn't really anywhere to go in the Red Bull stable. And I think I was, you know, me and my people were a bit unhappy how there were so many Red Bull guys that just got thrown in. Of course, I still had a bit more better treatment because I'd been there for longer. I was still, you know, receiving, you know, sponsorship money from them and all the help, all the same. But it was just, it felt so cluttered at the top. And I think, you know, going into next year is such a crucial year for my future. If I do well, I could have a chance to make it in Formula One. And I think, you know, having the option for teams to approach us and go anywhere I want is a better approach.
Yeah. So you wouldn't join another team or academy?
Maybe. We'll see.
Okay. We're going to get a lot of breaking news out of this episode.
Exclusive.
Just drop them.
I'm going to see tonight TikToks. Okay. Just breaking news.
Breaking news. And then we've had another of your teammate, actually, Isaac, on the podcast before. How is Isaac? Like, what was your first impression of him? How has this whole season been working with him?
Yeah, I love Isaac. He's a great guy. We started like getting to know each other a bit last year in F3, when we knew we were going to be teammates. So we started to hang out a bit and joke around. So, yeah, it's been a good, really good relationship. I mean, even, you know, away from the track, you know, he's like staying at my apartment all the time when we got sim and stuff. We're just sitting there playing FIFA and
nice.
And doing that for days. And, you know, it's a really good relationship. You know, I think he's a really good guy. And, you know, sometimes he gets a bit emotional in the car and at the track. But, you know, that's a part of him. And I think he's, you know, a really good guy.
And do you think he could make it to F1 one day?
You know, I think a lot of people in F2 have the potential, have the skill to make it to F1. I think nowadays, maybe it was a bit less in like a long time ago, but nowadays I feel like, you know, there's 10, 12 drivers that are fast enough to be in F1. It just comes down to, you know, what, like who you know, what money you're bringing, stuff
timing,
like that.
Yeah.
Timing. Yep. That's, you know, all of that plays into it. I think, you know, there's a lot of people talented enough to be in F1.
Yeah. And you mentioned earlier that you sim race.
Yeah.
We sim race all the time. We're a big proponent of it. But for a driver like you, do you like it? Do you not?
Yeah.
Where do you stand there?
I love it. So.
Oh, okay.
I have a sim rig at home and I play iRacing.
Okay.
A lot. Like every day.
Nice.
Like I do a lot. That's like all I do actually. People always ask me like, what hobbies do you have? And I'm like, away from racing, I'm like, sim racing? Is that kind of away from racing? And that counts away from racing to me. So, cause I mean, you can have fun and take it seriously and be competitive. It's just like, you know, it just revolves around racing.
Yeah, so. we need to upgrade to iRacing. We're still stuck on F1 23.
Oh, right. That's still a good game. It's getting better and better. Yeah. I remember playing my first racing game was F1 2014 on the Xbox 360.
A long time ago, yeah.
So I remember playing that on my
on the controller?
Yeah,
oh,
yeah.
My God.
Back in the day.
How are you taking the Monaco hairpin?
I don't think I was.
And then final question in Q1. I mean, it kind of stems to what you just talked about, but hobbies, interests, things that recharge you. What do those look like?
Don't you dare say sim
racing. Yeah, there's not a lot at the moment, and it's actually something that I've been trying to work my way into. Mm-hmm. I've been doing a lot of running. I mean, I do a lot of training, but I don't just do it to train. I also do it to, one, spend time, and also to have fun. I like to challenge myself with that. And otherwise, you know, I've been thinking about getting into golfing. I don't know yet. Well, I'm getting to the stage in my life where I've decided I need to actually like find something that I like to do that's not sim racing.
Right.
Yeah.
So hopefully over the winter.
Yeah. I mean, you were mentioning you were playing tennis. Do you do that for training or just even for like the joy of it?
A bit of both.
Yeah.
You know, this morning, me and my physio played for 2.5 hours at the hotel. And
that sounds like training, not for fun.
It was fun. I kept asking him to go again and again because he kept beating me in the set. So I was like,
fine, we can do a sim race after. You can beat him.
Exactly. Beat him on that.
I love that. Yeah. Henny?
That was I
purple green.
That was purple.
Yeah,
that was,
I think,
purple.
That was so clean.
Yeah, that was so smooth.
No
that was
mistakes.
Purple. And he gave us a breaking news. I think that deserves a purple on its own.
Can you imagine the news doesn't break by the time we share this?
Yikes.
You might just bleep it.
Yeah.
Bleep.
The whole way.
Amazing. Well, we're gonna see if you can get through Q2. Mm. We're gonna be back with Jack Crawford. Hey, everybody. Welcome back to the Track Limits podcast. We're here with Jack Crawford. He had a purple Q1. Jack, have you ever gotten a purple Q1, like Sector 1?
Yeah, I have.
Yeah, you have.
Yeah. In Zandvoort, I believe.
Favorite track? Is that your favorite track to drive on?
That's tough because I always had Imola, but we didn't race at Imola this year.
Yeah.
And I learned so many new tracks, like the street tracks, Jeddah, Monaco, and Baku.
Yeah.
And those were insane. I talk about adrenaline rush. Like, I don't know. I don't know what to say now. And then Zandvoort, I did really well there and I was fast. And so I don't know. There's five tracks.
Five tracks. Love it. Okay. Well, we're going to take you back even before you were a racer. I want to know, as a child growing up, was racing always in the cards for you, or was it potentially another career path you would have gone down?
So racing has been my whole life, basically. There was, I had a go-kart sitting in my basement when I was four, and then I started driving it and then started racing when I was six. And honestly, you know, I played a bit of some sports growing up. I played baseball, I played basketball, I played soccer, tennis.
Yep.
So I played all those sports, and it was just, you know, when I came to decide what I wanted to pick, because, you know, racing got really busy, baseball got really busy, and if I had to decide at one point what I wanted to do already when I was 8 or 9, which one I wanted to give up, and you know, I gave up baseball and decided to race. So that was, it's been my whole life, basically. Yeah. So.
And has your family support you through that whole
ordeal? You know, my mom and my dad, I'm an only child, so lucky me. they've been with me the entire time. Wow, so.
That's amazing. Yeah. And even from karting all the way to where you are today, who's been like the most influential person for you? And how did they impact the way you
Definitely
race?
My dad.
Yeah.
Because he's just, he's, you know, he shares the same passion for me, and that's, you know, one of the things we bond over is just racing in general. So, you know, it has to be my dad. He's helped me financially. He was my karting mechanic for the first 3 years I was karting. You know, he's been to almost every race I've been to. Yeah. So, you know, he's been there every step of the way.
Oh, Mr. Crawford.
I know.
So is my mom.
Yeah. Yeah, you have to name drop it.
Yeah.
Doesn't want to get in trouble.
My mom doesn't go to all the races.
Yeah. And then we heard when you were karting growing up, you were called Jetpack Jack.
Yeah.
Are you still called Jetpack Jack?
Only on Xbox.
Okay. That's a good handle, actually. Yeah. Jetpack. Can you imagine dying in Call of Duty from Jetpack Jack? It's like, damn it. But on a serious note, your dad was really into NASCAR, and he was a racing driver as well, right?
He wasn't. He did some track days, but he wasn't really a racing driver.
He's like,
driver.
Don't give him enough credit. Yeah. Like, come on.
But your family, I've heard, is really into NASCAR. Actually, James Blair told us that. Good friend of the pod. He was like, you need to ask Jack about NASCAR. Mm-hmm. I'm curious, growing up, was that the main form of racing you watched? And then would you ever potentially enter into a NASCAR race?
Yeah, so I was actually born in Charlotte, which is NASCAR Central, and me and my dad, you know, growing up, we watched almost every race, and you know, I was a huge fan of NASCAR, and that's what I wanted to do. I actually, a lot of people don't notice, but I, for 2 to 3 years, I raced ovals, and from 2017 to 2019, I raced Legends cars. They're these little, I don't know if you know, but it's basically before you step up to late models and then late models to ARCA or whatever. So there are these little things with, you know, they're super light and a lot of horsepower.
Yeah. We saw them at the Velocity.
Yeah.
Yeah. They're super fun. Yeah. Super fun to drive. So I drove those on oval and, road course. I was road course world champion. I had all the karting experience.
Yeah, Jetpack.
And I was good on the ovals too. I won a bunch of races on ovals as well.
Yeah.
So growing up, that's what I wanted to do. And, you know, I did karting, which is all road course. And, you know, when I turned around 12, 13, it became to an age where I was a bit too big for go-karts because I wasn't able to move up into bigger karts because I was too young. Because I was actually almost the same height when I was 12, 13.
Really? Wow.
Yeah, just, a few inches shorter. I was probably 5'10 when I was 12. And so quite early on, I had to move out of karting. And that was, you know, the first thing was straight into the legend cars, so racing ovals. And then I was also messing around with a bit of F4 stuff as well. And basically, I wanted to be a NASCAR driver. And it was either NASCAR or IndyCar. Those were the two options, and and then the Red Bull thing came up. I'd known about F1 for a little bit, but the Red Bull thing came up, and off I was to Europe.
Wow.
That's crazy.
A different dream.
Yeah. And how would you say, when you're working with the teams now, even currently in your F2 season, let's say you have a bad weekend, and there's been several of those, like you mentioned, how do you guys deal with that, both on a team perspective and then personally yourself?
It's really tough when you have a bad weekend. And it's worse when you see your teammate doing well. My two worst weekends were Silverstone and Budapest, I think.
Yeah.
And compared to my teammate, I think my teammate qualified fourth in Budapest, and I was a second off of him. I'd made, you know, tons of mistakes over the qualifying. It was a disaster. And, you know, it's so hard to, because after qualifying, that's it. That's where you start. I think I qualified 17th or 18th, maybe around there. I don't remember, but it's, that's where you start for the rest of the weekend.
Yeah.
And that's your weekend. So you basically, you're throwing that weekend away almost. You know, you try to, you know, have optimism to, you can still score points in races, but it's just basically throwing the race away at that point. And it's super tough to come back from that. You know, I had two bad ones in a row, Silverstone and Budapest. And then, you know, we come to Spa and, you know, you gotta just, you know, you gotta try and wipe it away. It's, you know, it's really tough. For me, I work with a sports psychiatrist, and also my physio is really good with the mental stuff, and that's a lot of it. It's just making sure you're prepared enough so that you know, you avoid these bad things. That's what we try to aim for, is being well prepared.
And you're still super young. I'm always curious, you know, people who find success at a very young age, how do you maintain that sense of normalcy, right? Like, you might have, you know, friends, family members, they're not jetting around the world, racing at these incredible events. How do you maintain that sense of normalcy and continue to be connected to them while you're so busy?
Yeah, I guess my whole life hasn't really been normal ever. I had to leave public school in the fourth grade, so when I was 10, because I missed too many days.
Wow.
So I started to go into a private school, was a small private school, and I'm still in touch with a lot of those friends, because I went there for 4 years, and I actually wanted to go into that high school, but the high school shut down because there weren't enough people, because it was a very small school. So I have a small group of friends that I'm still in touch with back at home in Texas, but other than that, it's never really been normal. You know, my last year of school, I was in Europe for half of it, racing in karts. So, you know, at the end of the day, it's never really been normal. And then stopped going to school at 13. I did online school for 3 years, and then I graduated at the beginning of last year. So I actually graduated a year and a half early.
Yeah,
so that was good. So yeah, it's been I feel like my life's never been, you know, normal.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't feel as young as I do. I don't feel 18 years old. I feel like now, like, all the people I went to school with are just now going to college.
Yeah. They're
just, you know, starting off living on their own. And I've been on my own since 2020, basically.
Yeah.
2021, where I've just been moving around places. And now, ever since mid last year, I've had my own apartment. I have my own car in Milton Keynes. So yeah, I'm just by myself since then. Obviously visiting family and stuff, of course, but yeah, I feel like I'm living a normal life. Obviously I don't have an income or anything yet, so that's a bit boring.
You don't need to have everything there. Yeah, come on now.
Yeah, I mean, all the people I race against are a bit older. Even, you know, there's a few that are my age, of course, but, you know, most of them are older than 20 years old, older than 21. So I feel like I feel like I've just matured a bit quicker. Mm-hmm. Trying to be humble here, but I just feel like I have matured a bit quicker, just because I was forced to.
Yeah, and even for next year, you told us where you're going, but what are the goals? What are you aiming for next year?
Yeah, I think main goals for me, I want to be, you know, top three in the championship. Yep. I think my personal goal would be to be eligible for a super license. Mm-hmm. So to do that, I need top six, but I don't want to finish in the top six. So I'm aiming for top three. Nice. And obviously I want to be champion, but I think next year's grid is, there's, you know, my class in Formula 3 from last year was really strong. And then we were all rookies this year. And, you know, a lot of us made mistakes, but we were all fast.
Yeah.
And going in next year, now everyone's experienced, and it's just going to be like that all over again. So it's going to be really tough next year. And it's a new car, of course, for F2. So It's also going to be a bit of a lottery. Which team gets it right. So, you know, we'll see how it goes.
Have you gotten to try the new car out yet?
No. So the teams haven't even received the cars yet. So apparently they're not even supposed to get them until mid-December around Christmas. So,
Everyone's going in blank.
No one's even seen the car yet. We get one shakedown test day in January. And then we have the preseason test in Bahrain for 3 days. And then that's it.
Right to it. Love it. Final question of Q2. Any superstitions or rituals? Do you have any before a race?
Not specific ones, I guess. Like, I guess the normal ones. Like, I always get, like, I always have the same routine in the morning. I always try to eat the same thing.
What is that food?
Yeah.
Well, usually, like, where we're at in the Middle East is really good because they always have hash browns, chicken sausage here, and baked beans, which is... That's all I need. That's the perfect breakfast for me. That's what I like to have if they have it. I feel like I have that all the time.
Breakfast, lunch, and dinner.
And a double espresso. There we go. Specific, like, at track stuff, you know, we always try to have the same exact timing of when warm-up is, when I get changed, when I get in the car. I always get in on the same side. I guess that's a bit of
a superstition. The left side. I know a lot of drivers.
The left side.
Yeah.
And I've actually, a lot of drivers have talked about it, and I think it's actually because in karting, your engine's on the right side.
Yeah.
So everyone always gets in left, and I think it's just
stuck with them.
It's stuck with everyone. I think a lot of people do that. So I mean, like, specific things, like I like specific belts tying first. So I feel like I'm a very superstitious guy.
That's like the first one we heard.
Belt.
Seatbelt.
I feel like I'm a bit superstitious.
Any pre-race music, by the way, you're listening to right now?
Depends.
Dua Lipa.
Oh my god.
You have to do it. I love Dua Lipa. Sorry.
A lot of Travis Scott.
See, that makes more
sense. Makes way more sense.
Sometimes if I'm feeling hardcore, maybe it's Jetta or some Eminem or some.
Not Dua Lipa. That would have been such an exclusive interval.
Yeah.
I listen to Dua Lipa levitating. Jetpack Jack.
Oh my god.
Purple, green.
I'm gonna give him a green.
Green.
Yeah. He didn't give us anything exclusive. No breaking news, you know?
Yeah.
I don't deserve a purple.
The belt thing?
That was true. That was the first time we got that one. We'll give him Gurple.
Gurple. Yeah. Right, I like that.
It's a mix of a purple 100th
off purple.
Yeah.
There we go. The rest of our team hates Gurple.
Yeah. We're like, come on.
I love Gurple.
I thought we coined it, but people know it, apparently.
Fair enough.
I know. Damn.
We'll be back. Rapid fire round coming up with Jack Robin. Hey, everyone. Welcome back to the Track Limits podcast. While we were in break, Jack, what did you tell us you were going to do at Abu Dhabi?
During free practice, I'm going to get in from the right side.
Boom. It's a challenge.
We're going to see. If I end in the wall in lap one.
Oh man.
We're cutting this whole part out.
All right. We're going to get to the rapid fire round. Jack, we need your answers to be rapid, full of fire.
Okay.
All right.
Yep.
Do I get purple if I answer fast?
Yep.
Fast.
Yep.
Oh, yeah. 100%.
On the spot.
I'm ready.
All right. Here we go. If you could choose any driver living or dead to race with, who would it be and why?
Max Verstappen, because I think he's the top and I want to beat the top.
Nice. Okay. What's the funniest thing or embarrassing thing that has ever happened to you on a race weekend?
On a race weekend?
Yeah, that nobody knows about.
Can I say, like, right before race weekend?
So
I was karting a long time ago and I was at my team's house and I was scootering down a hill. And I face planted. I don't know if you can see, but there's a scar on my chin.
Oh, yeah, there's a little bit. Yeah.
I've had a scar on my chin for the past 6 years.
Oh, my God.
And when I'm on the podium, you can see it in every single photo if you look.
Oh, my.
Especially when I have a beard.
I love it. All right. There are a bunch of, obviously, tracks where F1 will race, but F2 does not. If you could add a track to the F2 calendar from the F1 circuit, what would it be?
I'll say from this year, Sao Paulo.
Okay, cool. Yeah.
Okay.
That would be fun, actually.
Yeah. No, not Vegas?
I like to make chaotic.
Oh my god. Next one. The greatest F1 of all time, in your opinion.
Yeah.
Driver?
Yeah, driver, yeah.
I think Schumacher has to be, I'd say Verstappen is probably the fastest of all time, but looking at everything Schumacher did, he's like,
I think I know the answer to this, but if you could have one food for the rest of your life, what would
steak.
It be? Yeah, okay, fair enough.
What's your favorite guilty pleasure TV show?
Guilty pleasure TV show?
Yeah.
I don't know if you could have guilty pleasure TV shows.
Something like embarrassing that you wouldn't like say out in public, saying, I watch this show.
I've been watching Orange is the New Black.
Orange is the New Black, okay.
It's like a women's prison show.
Oh, yeah, yeah, I've seen the trailers, yep. Okay.
Cool. That's been around for a while.
Yeah.
I've been watching it now, actually.
Yeah. Cool.
If you could have any superpower, what would it be and why?
Teleportation, because, you know, if I can be here and then sleep in my own bed in the UK or in the US.
Yep.
Even golden.
And then race the next day. Oh.
It also helped for racing.
Yep.
You just go
just everything.
Qualified.
And go on the right side.
Yeah, there we go.
Yep. Who's your best friend in the paddock?
Can I put two? Ollie and Isaac. Okay, Ollie Behrman and Isaac Hatcher.
Two very good racers. Yeah. Which celebrity would be a good fit as a racing car driver, in your opinion?
That's a good question. Oh, I can say Brad Pitt.
Okay. That's a cop out. Another one.
Oh man. This is so tough. Who would be a good driver? I'd say like some sports player. Thibaut Courtois. I've seen he's like good on the F1 game.
Yeah.
Okay. Good. Yeah. What's something most people don't know about you?
Oh, good question. My first name is not actually Jack.
No way.
Yeah.
What is it?
Carlton. That's my birth name. Carlton.
Oh, Carlton.
Yeah.
Oh my God. Okay. That's my birth name. This podcast is going to be the Carlton Jack Crawford. Yeah. Then why are you called Jack then?
Well, it's not even actually my middle name. My middle name is Jackson.
Oh, okay. So it's a short.
So it's just short, my middle name. And apparently my parents wanted to call me Jack, but they named me something else. So I've just been called Jack everywhere I go.
But then why did you spell it J-A-K?
Because that's how it's spelled.
Middle name. Yeah. All right. Which race has the best atmosphere, in your opinion?
Melbourne was really cool.
Okay. If you had to choose another sport, what sport would that be?
Baseball.
What's your favorite team, by the way, in baseball?
Houston Astros.
Oh, okay, fair enough. Sorry. My bad.
Everyone hates on me when I say that.
The team that cheated?
Yeah. everyone hates on me when I...
Okay, what piece of racing memorabilia would you like to own or currently own that you're like, wow?
I would like to own a very old Formula One car and it be in use so I can drive whenever I want.
Also with the engine, everything inside.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep.
Okay, you're stranded on an island. What three drivers would you have with you?
F1 or F2?
Yeah.
I'd have Ollie Behrman. I'd have Isaac, just because, you know, I already said they're my best friends in the paddock and we had the most fun. And then I'm trying to think of someone who's very craftsy.
Useful on an island.
Maybe Ayumi Waza. He's I think he'd be good. Maybe.
Maybe.
Smart. Yeah, I don't know.
I love it.
Yeah.
Well, I think that's
that was purple. That was the fastest thing.
Yeah.
That was very rapid.
I felt kind of slow on some of those.
We allowed you to give you story time because we want to hear it. Yeah. We allowed it.
If we didn't interject, you would have just sped right
kept
through.
Kept going.
So you were great. That's a purple, green, purple.
Boom.
Or Gurple, really.
Gurple, purple.
So definitely provisional pole. Well, not even provisional. That's pole. Pole for Jack Crawford.
Let's see if it translates to this weekend.
Oh, let's go. Hey. Then that means we're going to have to do an episode every race.
Every race.
If you get a pole.
That's a new ritual. I do a track limits episode.
Right before the race weekend.
Who knows?
Final thing to end off, Jack. Yeah. You kind of talked about your predictions and hopes for 2024. Yep. But like, look on the macro level, kind of the next 5 to 10 years, you know, your 20s. What do you hope to achieve? What do you hope to become in your 20s?
Yeah, well, I obviously want to be a professional racing car driver. Especially in open wheel, I think that's the main goal, whether it's F1 or IndyCar, you know, I'm interested in both. And I think, you know, I have a good chance to get in both. So looking 5 years ahead, I'll be 23. Hopefully I'm racing in F1. That would be the goal, of course. But also, I'd also like to race an IndyCar. So
hey, okay.
Either Let's one. Go.
That'd be so much fun.
I just want a job.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I want to be, you know, I want to be called a professional racing driver. That's what I do.
Nice.
Yeah. And the fact you have experience with ovals too.
Yeah. That's a huge plus. Bonus. Huge plus.
That's incredible. Yeah. Well, thank you for coming on, Jack. Where can people find you if they want to stay along your journey?
Mainly on Instagram. Just
Charlton Crawford.
Jack Crawford _. That's it.
We'll throw in the socials right below, guys. Give Jack a follow. He's a great person. Yes. Very amazing vibe. I know you're going to achieve a bunch, Jack. So thank you again for coming on.
Yeah, thanks for having me, guys.
We will see you guys in the next episode.